Today's daf is daf kuf yud, and we're still in the middle of the sugya, which was analyzing the relationship of Menashe, Moshe, Yonatan ben Gershom, and the question of whether one should marry into a family that's more miyuchas, that's not from Mishpachat Geirim, relationship of Yitro, Yosef, Aminadav. So we are holding now on daf kuf yud, and we're on the fourth line, which continues the sugya of yesterday. Omar Rabba, Hanosei isha tzarich sheyivdok ba'acheha. When one gets married, one should check out the brothers of the woman that he wants to marry. Shenemar, Vayikach Aharon et Elisheva bat Aminadab, Achot Nachshon lo la'isha. Now what in the world does it have to say, Achot Nachshon? I mean, the moment it says Bat Aminadav, I understand that Nachshon is Nachshon ben Aminadav. So obviously Nachshon is her brother. Eni yodea she'achot Nachshoni, ma tamud lomar achot Nachshon, unless it's to indicate to me that that was part of the reason that he married her, so that he was checking out her brothers. And mikan she'anosei isha, tzarich she'yivdok be'acheha. And indeed, this is a principle. Tana, rov banim domim la'achei ha'em. Actually, it's a very practical principle, because in terms of getting an insight into what it is that your children will look like, so then you should see the brothers of the woman that you're marrying, because most sons take on the similarity to the brothers of the mother, and therefore you want them to be the kind of people that you would like to have children according to. No. The approach. Yeah. Personal. And so what happens, continuing now the story, which we got into ostensibly because we were interested in whether Mishpachat Ha'em is Kriya Mishpacha. So we got into this whole story about whether Levi is the name of a person, is the shevet of the person. Can Mishpachat Yehuda refer to the Mishpachat Ha'em? So we thought that it was a riot to Mishpachat Ha'em. Now it turns out that he's Ben Moshe, and it was only a comparison to Yehuda, Mishpachat Yehuda, which of course is exactly the same idea over here. We're comparing it to where it is that the person was Noheg. And so Menashe, even though his real name wasn't Menashe, he's called Menashe because Eisem Menashe, who comes from Yehuda, who is the one that gave birth to those who would be Eved Avodah Zarah, and so on and so forth. Now, we got up to the point in which Micha was so happy that here is this kid called Levi that's coming to be his Kohen. Couldn't be a bigger proof that God is on his side. So then come along now the Bnei Dan, and they're looking for a place to move, as we just had in Yehoshua. And it says that Hema, which we'll be getting later on in Shoftim, the story of how Dan leaves their area and ends up finding the Laish area. So Hema in Beit Micha, they're passing through over here, the house of Micha. Vehema hikiru et kol hanar halevi. They recognize that voice. Sure, we heard that voice somewhere on Har Sinai. And so they go there, vayasurusham, vayomru lo, clearly knowing all about him, which is a very weird story. And they say to him, mi aviyacha alom, who the heck brought you out here? Matal sebezer, what are you doing in this place? Umalachapo, what do you have with this? Now, that's an awfully long way to ask, you know, how'd you get in my hand? So therefore, we're medayik every last word. Omrolo, they said to him, this is insane. You are from Moshe, are you not? He's the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Al Tikrav Halom, Lad mi Moshe ka'ati, don't you come to from Moshe, about whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Maze biyadecha. And don't you come from Moshe, Lad mi Moshe ka'ati, dechtiv ba ve'ata po amodi madi? So you, the guy who is the Halom, and the Bazeh, and the Po, you should be in an insane place like this, a church. They are seko in la avodah zarah. Shame on you. Amar lahem, on the contrary, kach mikublani mi beit aviyaba. This is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu taught me. Lo olam yaskir adam atzmo la avodah zarah, v'al yitzterech lebriot. A better person should hire himself out to the church and do not accept charity. V'hu savar, now he, this Levi boy, he held that what Moshe Rabbeinu meant was an actual church, Avodah Zarah, mamash. But that isn't really what Moshe meant. although it's a very strange coincidence that Moshe had himself accepted the challenge of Yitro, that I'll only give you your daughter, my daughter, on condition that your son, your first son, goes to Catholic seminary. Vayol Moshe, he accepted that deal. The Medrash actually interrelates the two stories. So if you're willing to send your son to a Catholic seminary, you can only expect that your grandchildren are going to end up in the church. So, okay, but Lamaise, he didn't mean Chas v'Sholem directly that it meant Avodah Zarah. Velohi, he meant Avodah Zarah, that is to say, Avodah Shezaralo, which of course is directly interrelated with the concept of Avodah Zarah, because that's the pshat, Elohim Acherim, they're Acherim Lo'ovdehem. So you can't really work on a life that's not part of yourself. So here too, you would think, I have no interest in being a gas station attendant. So basically that's out of the question. So I can't take that kind of work. So therefore the only thing I could do is accept charity. So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, no, better to become a gas station attendant than to accept charity. That's all that he meant. Meaning avodah, she's zaralo, and that indeed, that's not such a big chiddush. Moshe Rabbeinu, we have that paskin la locha, kiryamar le rav le rav kahana. Netosh nevelata b'shuka. You can take the lowest type of work, but as long as it's real honest labor, so you could be a guy who skins nevelot in the middle of the marketplace, and everybody's looking at you and saying, man, what a low-class guy. So even though you may be the gadol hador, ushkol agra, get yourself a salary, velo temer gavah rabah. Now, don't go around saying a great man like me should be doing such cheap work. I'm a taxi cab driver. Vizila b'milta, tzachil Hashem, it doesn't fit. I mean, what are people going to say? Rabbi Yashiv in a taxi cab. So Mamela comes along, Moshe Rabbeinu, to say, there's never anything wrong. But like Hillel HaZaken, people made fun of him because he was a taxi cab driver. That's his job, Mamela, you do your job. And that's why you get these taxi drivers here in Eretz Yisrael. They're Baki Bako Chadri Ater. It's an amazing thing. Like, even by heart, it's like...
is it only here we find that?
What, you think in America they got taxi drivers that know Kol HaTorah Kula?
People are much more... don't view themselves as a visa.
Yeah.
And he's an exterminator.
That's one of them. And so Mabela, he got this mistake by being convinced that his own grandfather, the source of the Halom and the Bazeh and the Po, had Bedavka been the one who told him that it's better for him to work in the church. I don't know, I have to make two brokers now, it's a big interruption. Sorry? That's the question, that's a big machlokes. Okay, so Kiva now, Lamaisa, as we mentioned when we were learning the story of Micha, I think in one of the shiurim, I don't remember when we spoke about it. But anyway, it turns out that this guy lives for centuries, right? And the Gemara indeed talks about, the Yerushalmi talks about, why did he have a schus? A guy who's like that, why did he have a schus to live for so long? And he ends up becoming in charge. He becomes the minister of the treasury in the days of David, which is weird. So the Yerushalmi says, because Lamaisa, he may have been the official priest of this Avodah Zarah, Pesach Micha, but anybody that would come to Pesach Micha to bring a korban, he would say, what are you wasting your money for? It's a piece of garbage. Why would you bring a korban? So the guy was, I understand, but I mean, I want to bring a gift. Okay, he says, no. So bring a gift. If he was in the mood for a falafel, he would say, I'll tell you what, bring him a falafel. I'll take care of it for you. You know, well, I'll make sure it's just as good as a korban. So whatever he wanted, that's what he ordered for the korban. So Shami said, since he made a laughing stock out of the whole thing, so for that, he ended up being Marech Yomi. But we know that what happened afterwards, that David HaMelech saw, Kivan Shira'a David Shemamon, Chaviv Alav Biyoter, that this guy is in love with money. If he's in love with money, he should obviously be the minister of the treasury, so he can steal every last penny. You know, where else are you going to put it? To be a minister, you need to really love money. So obviously, he held that which was mavir him al vaitei was that he needed money. And he was willing to do anything for money. So he gave him a job. That meant that that was a person who was really marich money. So Mamela, he gave him the job on monies, even though it wasn't his money, but he already felt like he was living on top of the world. He's spending billions. That's what he really wanted to do. Write a check for $1 billion. That's all he wanted to do. So Mamela, at that point, he was able to do teshuva, because now he had no need to work for Aveda Zora. And so Lamaisa, it turns out that he was around until all the end of the Aseres HaShvatim, as it says that Pesach Micha was ad yom galut haaretz, which is unbelievable. So that means that he had been given this job, Lamaisa, after David died. The Gemara says Shlomo HaMelech canceled all of his appointments and redid the whole government. That's when he went back to, again, being the same job that he had before. So this we spoke about in the Rambam, that a tshuva that comes only from the removal of the challenge doesn't address the underlying problems. The moment that he was back in his own position, old position, so he went ahead and became now the one who was Ma'ariv Yomim. But again, since it was Einot Zara B'Aveda Zara, so he was Zeche to Arichas Yom. Fine. Anyway, so David HaMelech made him Mino ala otzarot. Shenema Ushvuel ben Gershon ben Menashe. It's actually ben Moshe. And there it says Moshe, but we're relating it to the same ben Menashe. Before we called him Yonatan, and now we're calling him Shvuel. Nagid ala otzarot v'chi Shvuel shemo. Hallo Yonatan shemo. Where did he suddenly get the name Shvuel? Ah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan sheshav le'el b'chol libo. So you see that it's possible to do teshuva with your full heart, and Lamaisa, the moment that the original challenge comes back, you're still back where you were, and it's still called Bechol Libo. This is like a paradigm of that type of tshuva, which is the tshuva of the second parak in the Rambam, that even if he does tshuva when he's old, he can no longer do the things that he did. Kol Averotav are nimchalim. Fine. So he gets slicha mechile, but he's never really mechaper, but that can also be Bechol Libo. Kala de Kalimud, which is Paskin La'aloch.
Because
it's not mistaken. Avodah Zarah really does mean, as I mentioned before, maybe we're going to that too, is that Elohim Achirim means they're different than you. So alien gods. Alien is always personally defined. So what that means is that any relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that comes not from within what the person experiences in himself is a violation of Aveda. That becomes Kafalim Har Chagigis. That's the Taina of the Nachash. This is really not about you. It's about him. So all religions suffer from that issue. That ultimately there's this distinction between God as the person in the sky, so to speak, and the human being. It's not really my life. It's just these are the rules of my life. Rules of your life is the essence of Aveda Zora. So it doesn't matter even if you've identified God correctly, so to speak, with the right name, it's still an Aveda Zora. So that he said, so what's nafkamina? I mean, so the a relationship to life in a way that you're never able to experience it and give your heart into it. I mean, how much passion can I give to being a gas station attendant? So therefore, it's the same thing, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Don't worry about that. So I don't worry about that. So what do I care if I'm working in a church? If it already makes no difference, so you might as well work in the church. The truth is that this was the taina in the end of Yeravam ben Nevat. You're going to the Beis HaMikdash, she says to them. What kind of ridiculous? What do you have in a Beis HaMikdash? Because it's the right name. You want to call this Egel the same name. It's exactly the same thing, because your religious relationships are precisely the same to an Egel as they are to bowing down to the Kotel HaMarav. It makes no difference, right? So it's the same psychology. It's where you got to go there. It's a bigger Chol Hashem to go there. We'll give you an Egel. That's where you're holding. Go to the Egel. It's also good. Because anyway, you're not getting beyond that. The Gemara Sanhedrin says he actually got everybody to sign. He got the Rosh Sanhedrin to sign that he could even tell people to go be Aveda Zarah. So they all signed.
Because of where they were holding?
No, because they thought that he had the same argument. They thought that that's what he meant, which is what he meant. It just totally got out of control. Right? It's obviously Rabban's not really giving them an Egel. But the point is that the Beis HaMikdash was originally the Egel. That's how it all started. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Egel, it was Mahapech, the Shor, and the Merkava. He was mahapich at the kruvim on the merkava, so he became the kruvim, the base of mikdash. But as the Kuzri says, there's no innate difference between the egel azov and the kruvim azov and the heichal. It's the same thing. That's why the egel still hides in the heichal, right? So when the kohen walked in there, he goes plopped out by the egel prints on his back. That's why they were looking for the avodah zarah, the yetzer avodah zarah. They found it in the kodesh hakodashim. So Yeravam Tainet is better to separate it out. Right? But this is what the Rambam says. You're always utilizing Yetzer. So obviously, I mean, anything that you'll be doing to Beis HaMikdash has to derive from the underlying mechanisms that drive a person to religion in the first place. Now the idea is to purify it and to learn to utilize it, to make it part of yourself, just like all Yetzer.
So is it possible that one person's totally legitimate approach would be a Bozar and then
somehow? Of course, 100%. It's usually that way. That the person who doesn't understand. It's like Har Sinai itself. If you don't understand Har Sinai, it becomes Kafalei Marachigigig.
He's still supposed to be Mishamish Arav.
Okay, Enochinami. That was the mistake. It's better to be Mishamish Arav than to be Mishamish Avedazar. But Lamaisa, he correctly understood where Moshe Rabbeinu was coming from. He wasn't off the wall. Okay, next thing that we had in the Mishnah, and of course this Mishnah that talks about Nachala comes now expanded in the Gemara into the spiritual Nachala. So we can call someone a nochel in the sense of being a spiritual son, like Rosh Rabbi Yochai points out. We're toiling the kilkel in the kilkel, or here we have Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson being called Mishpachat Yehuda, related to Menashe, and so on, even though it doesn't really mean that.
He's called a Levi?
He is a Levi. Turns out he is a Levi, but we're only calling him Mishpachat Yehuda because he relates to Menashe in terms of his activity, which of course traces it all the way back to the aspects of Yehuda that were problematic in his argument with Yosef, which was essentially that he had a religious approach that ended up allowing him to be mischaber to the goyim, and that caused the destruction of Beis HaMikdash in the end. That was Ad Adulam, that's Murum is in the Pasuk, Re'eo Adulami. It was all the things that he accused Yosef of, he was Nishali. This is where the Gemara traces it back. Here we're talking about the sugya of Yosef. Pinchas coming from Yosef, relationship to Yitro, that very Yitro that Moshe Rabbeinu had promised he was going to give his son to the Catholic seminary, becomes now related to Mishpachas Yehuda because its Makor was in Yehuda, not in Moshe. Don't it's a remarkable layer of Ramazim over here that goes all the way back to the initial Hanukkah questions of Pinchas, Kanoz, the Levim, and the relationship to Yosef and Yehuda. Okay, so obviously when we talk about Nochlin, in the broadest sense, we're talking about an heir that could even be someone who's not going to inherit, but he inherits the characteristics of. That's why we ended with the story of Nachshon and Amin Nadav and the relationship to the children of Aaron, which is what we were talking about before. How do we compare the children of Aaron to the children of Moshe? And that was where we got into the whole contrast. Now getting back to the Mishnah to speak of the simple meaning of Yerusha, obviously the ultimate extensions of Yerusha go all the way into the book of Rus. We were talking about Gerim Mamish, not only here with Yisrael, the Sinas HaTerah and so on, but over there, the clear interrelationship between Yibam and Yerusha occurs only in one place, and that's that safer. They're talking the whole time about buying back a field to be Goyal Asada, the Steyachuza, and all of a sudden the Steyachuza says, Boaz, now wait a minute. Obviously you understand this means you have to marry the woman. Huh? Where does it say that? Doesn't say it anywhere, but it's obvious that it's the same sugya. So our Gemara that ends up learning the whole sugya out of Yibam is not Stam talking about a side point. The relationship of Yibam, Nachala, Sodes, Teachuza, and so on is all interrelated with this discussion about Yitro, now that's the root, Nachshon ben Aminadav, Mishpacha, what does all of that mean? Penashkitet Nachlati, as Pliny Almoni says. Yes, Richie.
Yes.
Some people do it right.
What, right?
Well, you want to inherit an island, you marry a Swedish princess. That's the only way to go. So now we're talking about Yerusha. It's not good to fall asleep.
No.
You can never tell what else might be coming your way. Okay. So the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was that the Banim inherit the Av, and that means the Banim inherit the Av, and only afterwards with a Bat, we don't even talk about the Bat. How do you know all of this? Who says that the banim are the primary heirs of a father, as opposed to the banot? Exactly. So, minola. Well, I mean, doesn't it say, I mean, the main pasuk, that was the pasuk we've been darshaning. Ve'el b'nei Yisrael tedaber le'mor, Ish ki amut ubein ein loy. So if he has no bein, va'avartem et nachalato levito. Fine, but you see that only because ben ein lo. Ha'yesh lo bein, bein kodem. But had he had a son, it's clear the implication is that the son would have come first. Omar le'rav papa labaye, I don't see that implication. Maybe the point is that if there's a bein, then the son gets to inherit. Lirot bein. If there's a bat, only a son, the son inherits. There's only a bat, the daughter inherits. But maybe if there's a son and a daughter, neither should inherit. Wait, just wait. Lo ha'ilirot v'lo ha'ilirot. Oh, really now? The Elaman, so who should be orate? What, the government? Otubar kasha damata lirot? What, do you want to give it over to the IRS? You crazy? No, says Rav Papa, come off it. You're not listening to my Hashi Kamina. I'm trying to speak to you intelligently. I'm saying like this. Ika bein ubad, neither is primary, is what I'm saying. Lo ha'ilirot, meaning lo ha'ilirot kule, lo ha'ilirot kule. Who's to tell you that the pasuk is necessarily identifying a primary heir? Maybe all it's saying is that if you have either a son or a daughter, okay, so then you have a complete heir. You have a mix. You don't have a primary heir. You just have heirs. Maybe that's all that it means. Normally, Abaya, what? I understand. So what's the point of the pasuk? Itzrich krala shminin echa the let le elachad barali retino lekula nichse. So what are you telling me? That if there's no son, yeah. So, but if there is a son, the diak is that he'll be yoresh everything. It's the same issue. Well, what else would he be yoresh about everything? What, we give him only half? No. I'm trying to explain to you like this. The Torah has to address the daughter issue somewhere, right? So therefore what it said, because otherwise the word ben, even though we could talk about bonim in the sense of sons and daughters, but, I mean, we need to clarify that it's not gender-dependent. In order for me to clarify that, I have to point out to you somewhere that there's going to be a bat that's Yoresh, okay? So what it's telling me is that bat nami bat Yerushahi. In other words, I have to bring you an example. What, you think it's so outrageous that if there's no son, the daughter would get everything? She'd get everything. That's all. She's no different than a son. That's what it's saying. So it's possible for a daughter to end up with all your property. That's all it's saying. So once I understand that, so then that would mean if there's a son and a daughter, they'll split the property. It's just a way of letting me know that Yerusha is not dependent on whether what your sex is. No, I don't need, that's wrong. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that a daughter inherits. Because it says beferish that a daughter inherits, even though it says it later on when they're coming to Taina against the psak din for benot zlofchad, right? So where we have there, it says v'chol bat yoreshet nachala mimatot b'nei Yisrael le'echad mimishpachat matei aviyat yali yisha. So then clearly the daughter inherits. That's innate in the discussion about benot zlofchad. So then I understand that was their problem, is that a daughter inherits. So I know a daughter inherits. So now tell me, why do you have to say this whole business with Papa if according to you, it's only coming to tell me a daughter inherits and not that a daughter secondarily inherits? Must be that the point of the pasuk is that a daughter is only secondary and comes into play when there's no primary yoresh. And therefore the primary yoresh must be the bein. That's the limud. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar. Well, we can say that from a different place. We could say that up front from the very taina in the original suit that was brought by Benot Slavchad against the family of Chefer. So they taina, Lama yigara shem avinu mitoch mishpachto ki ein lo bein. Why, just because he has no son, should his chelek now not be defined as a separate chelek? It ought to go to the daughter. So you see, Hayesh lo bein bein kodem. They themselves were only suing because there was no bein. But had there been a bein, then they would have been quiet. That would, they included this in the suit. So that means it must have been recognized milachatchila that the daughters would only be secondary yorshim. They were coming to establish at the most secondary yerusha, not primary yerusha. They didn't even sue for primary yerusha. Says the Gemara, but how do you know they were right? In other words, we know that they were suing, But maybe after HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, he responded above and beyond what it was that the suit was for. It's true that he said, Kain benot zlofcha dovrot, as if to say, I agree with the suit. But as Tosfos points out, who's to say that that means I agree with every line in the suit? It means I agree with the bottom line. The bottom line is they should be the heiresses. Fine, they're right. But as far as they're having limited to this, the suit to being secondary heiress, no, that part was wrong. The truth is a woman is completely on the same level as a male. And therefore, they would have been able, they didn't realize it, but this is something that would have been given to them even if there were sons. Wow. So therefore, yes, let's see it inside. Maybe they made that assumption, and indeed, perhaps the society was a misogynist society, and nitna Torah v'nitchat shahalacha. Now comes along the dinim of Nachla, just like there's lots of other chiddushim, in the dinim of Nachla, that's part of the chiddush. Is that now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the men and the women the same. Where do you see from that story of the suit that that is indeed the halacha? Ela machvarta k'rishonim ikor. No, we're going to have to go back to the original limud in which we said ish ki yamut, that we took for granted. Ish ki yamut uben ein lo. That's the only place that we have it. Can't bring a raya from the suit of benot zlofcha. Rivian.
There must have been lots of families that had daughters and sons.
From the Yorshe Haaretz? Not necessarily.
Daughters and sons?
Oh, nobody bought that. So fine. Enochinami. Nobody brought that suit.
So it must be.
That was assumed to be the common law. But now that there's halacha, why would the halacha necessarily agree with common law? That's what the Gemara is saying. Maybe this is what they've been doing for the past 500 years. So it never occurs to anyone to sue. Because they've already accepted the fact that a male is the primary heir.
And a woman gets...
Only if there's no male. Or maybe not at all.
That's what I'm saying. If they'd seen that in all the other instances...
So maybe not at all. Who's going to say what was? But that doesn't mean that the agreement to benot zlofchad was to the agreement of their assumptions. It was only to the agreement of the results of the suit. Ravino amar mehacha. All right, it's just beautiful to see the whole thing in a completely different light, right? As we're so used to thinking about it from the point of view of the halacha as we know it, right? Indeed, there's even a medrash, you know, you see that they only would have sued if there hadn't been, but you're the Gemara saying, Adarab. Maybe they didn't know the halacha, they just knew the common law. Ravino amar mihocha, hakarov elav. I don't get it. Didn't you start off with the assumption that l'sheiro hakarov elav, that was the original drasha, that karov alav means always hakarov, karov kodem. That the primacy of the Yerusha in any particular situation is always defined by who is closer halakhically. Huh? Yeah, so. Umay kurva de bang me bat. I understand. So what makes you say, like Scott just said, you know, daddy's little girl. What makes you say that a ben is closer than a bat? Where do you get that from? I hope you're not going to give me this old argument about yud again. Because, I mean, that is a problem that's logistics, not a problem of din. I mean, maybe if enochinami, if a woman can marry a woman, so maybe yud would be properly done to a woman. But, I mean, logistically, she's going to have a problem being mia'edet, a woman. Okay, but that's not a din. So you're not going to try to bring a miraya because a ben is kam tachat aviv liya'ada. And stay achuz, I hope you're not going to argue, because ya'ada... I mean, that's just because of logistics. She's got the wrong equipment. So, bat lav bat yadagi. Stay achuza, how do you know stay? Stay achuza, after all, we don't really know that the one, it's, remember, let's just remind ourselves of the sugi of stay achuza. Stay achuza, the din is that if the gizbar, the guy himself doesn't have money, doesn't buy back his field. Now the gizbar and sells it, sets up, sells it li'ish acher. So then, at Yovel, it goes back to Hegdesh, and the guy never gets back his field. But how do you know that the Ish Acher, we were Medayik, Ish Acher means it's got to be a stranger. But if you sold it to a Bain, then when Yovel comes around, it would go back to the father. Maybe that's true if you sold it to a Bat. So the truth is, in the end, the Gemara says it's not true. But that's only because the Ben is the primary heir. But otherwise, I would have said Ben and Bat would be exactly the same Lagabi Stei Achuza too. So therefore, you certainly can't use Stei Achuza as a Raya before you know that fact. You can't use it as a Raya to that fact. Okay? So therefore, your assumption that a son is closer than a daughter has absolutely no basis in the halacha. Because the steachu zanami mihai pircha gufa hu darkai malei latana klum yesh yiba mela b'mokam she'in bein. Remember, the only way, the only thing that we ended up proving is that it can't be an ach, it's got to be a bein, and that's because a bein is even closer than the ach because you don't even need yibum if there's a bein. But that would be true if there's a bat. So therefore, what would be the difference between bein and bat? It's the same line of argument. And mamela, your thoughts are prejudiced when you're saying that a bein is karev, because it's just logistically karev in a sense, and it's only after the Torah told you the din of nachla that you know that it's viewed as karev legabi steachuza. So mamela, scotch that. And therefore, machvar only from nachala.
No, in terms of
steachuzah from only from nachala in erechim. But we need to first find nachala. Ela machvar to get a shadina mikara. So therefore, again, we're going to have to go back to the original pasuk ish ki amutu bein einlo. That's the only makar that we have. Oh, the truth is there is another makar. The other makar is ibay dema mihacha. In the din of Evet Knani, it says vitnachaltem otam livnechem achrechem. So the nachla over there goes only to your sons, v'lo benotechem, which means that there is an additional kirva to sons that allows you to be manchil an evet knani. Masha'inken, if there are no sons, then there's no din of Yerusha on an evet. So if that's the case, that shows me that indeed benechem come first before benotechem. Ah, come on. Venechem is a gender-neutral word. You know that. You say, Laman, Yerbuya Bechem, Vimei Venechem. So that tells us only your sons will have Ribu Yomim for keeping the mitzvahs, but your daughters, we don't care about them. You know, don't expect them to have a long life. When you really think that's what the pasuk means. Achinami Venechem, Velo Benotechem. Says the one, no, this is not true. Because obviously, you're telling me it's gender-neutral. It's gender-neutral depending on context. It can refer to both male and female, but its primary meaning, obviously, is that it's the plural of the male. So if the context is a bracha where it's nonsensical to think that it would be gender-specific, so of course it means your sons and daughters. But where you're dealing with specifically with the issue of nachala, which is not gender-neutral, so now over here we have to start thinking. So what does it mean? Then if you want to tell me that it's truly gender-neutral, there's a way to do that. The Zarachem Acharechem. So Zarachem Acharechem has absolutely no male and female component at all. If the Torah uses Bineichem in a context where we're looking out for, does that mean male or female, then it's very misleading. And it must be telling you, Dafka males. So Mamela, it's clear that the context defines the word. In which case, this now could make sense to say that the din of Evet Knani points to a greater primacy for Ben. Then the Mishnah said, Ha'achin min ha'av nochalim umanchilim minolim. How do we know that the din of Yerusha is dependent on being achin min ha'av? Why does the Mishnah say achin min ha'av and only min ha'av? Omar Rabbah, because it only could mean achin min ha'av and not achin min ha'em. Why? Because the word achim that occurs over here in the parsha of Nachala occurs also with the children of Yaakov, who define themselves by saying, we are 12 sons achim. Shneimasar achim are avadech b'nei ish echad. They had four different mothers, but they're identifying themselves as achim b'nei ish echad. So from there you see that the use of the word ach is in terms of b'nei ish echad. So mala alan min ha'av v'lo min ha'em, afkan min ha'av v'lo min ha'em. Wait a minute. Well, hold on a second. Am I missing something here? Originally, we discussed this, and you told me we understand that mishpacha is only mishpachat ha'av and not mishpachat ha'em, and you learned that out from the posik that says mishpachtam levet avotam. Now, all of a sudden, you pretend you never read the parsha before of Nachala that said beferish hakarove lab mi mishpachto, which has already been identified as mishpachat ha'av, and now we're going far afield to Bnei Yaakov to suddenly teach me something that we already knew? What just happened here? You said mishpachat av kriya mishpacha, mishpachat em ein kriya mishpacha. So what's Rabbah getting off now with this new Gezeirah Shavah, which we have absolutely no need of? No, Enochinami, you're 100% right. We're quoting, the truth is we're just quoting you the broad strokes of this idea as they occur in other places. And of course, where's the other place? Yibam. So by Yibam, it does not say, oy vavoy, remember the words of Yahushua. Lo tuchlu la'avod et Hashem. I'm sorry. Elohim kedoshimu. It ain't going to work with your eyes half closed. Nope. That old Buddhist church is right across the street. So, says the Gemara, where did Rabbah need to say his drasha of Shnei Masar Achim B'nei Ishachad? That's l'inyin yibum itmar. By yibum it says, ki yeshvu achim yachdavu meit achad meim. How do we know if they're brothers from a common mother? How do we know that's not good enough to be mechayev yibum? There it doesn't say anything about mishpacha. So over there, the broad strokes of yibum again. Brothers, there's brotherhood. But there's no fraternal relationship, even though it's based on the maternal fraternity. Comes along, Rabbah, to say, but the word Yeshvu Achim is the same word that's used for Shemasa Achim Anachdu. And over there it specifies B'nei Ishachar. And therefore over here too, it must be Shnei Achim Yachdav, that are Achim Mi'ishachar. Which means there's no Chiyav of Yibam from a brother through a common mother, which means, in terms of our Mishnah, the same idea. That's why we're bringing Rabbah. We want to show the consistency of this din. Even though we don't have any clear-cut marker for it, it's clear to us that the two are fundamentally related all the way across the board. So if we know that the din of Yerusha is defined by Mishpacha, obviously it's not coincidental. Mishpacha meaning brothers that are related to a common father. So too, when it comes to Yibam, the only brothers that the Torah is referring to is brothers related to a common father. Therefore comes on our Mishnah to say, Achim min ha'av v'lo min ha'em, they are yerush each other. And that proves it on all levels. Yibam and Nachal.
If we didn't have the Lemuel.
Omar rova ha'nosi isha tzarich shiyivdog ba'acheha. Shenema v'yikach ha'aron et elisheva bat ha'minadav achot nachshon. V'imash ba shenema bat ha'minadav. I'm any yodea sh'achot nachshoni? Ma ta'amud lomar achot nachshon? V'kan sh'anosi isha צריך שיבדוק באחיה. תנה רוב בנים דומים לאחיה אם. ויסורו שמה, so this is talking about אמא עם בית המיכה, and so on, ויסורו שם, ויאמר לו, מי אביאך לו? מה אתה עושה בזה? מה לך פה? It's a beautiful passage. אמרו לו, לב ממושה קעתי, דכי בי אל תקרב הלום, לב ממושה קעתית, דכתי בי מה זה בידיך, לב ממושה קעתית, דכתי בי ואתה פה עמוד עם עדי, sure. But actually, all that Moshe Rabbeinu had meant was Velohi, Ela Avodah Zarah, meaning Avodah Shezarah Lo, Kiriomer Le Rav Le Rav Kahana, Netosh Divelata Beshuka Ushkol Agra, Velo Temra Gavar Rabana, Vezila Bi Miltan. So only because vein ain't lo. Ho yeshlo ben ben kodem. Omele Rav Papa Labaya, ema ika ben lirot ben, ika bat lirot bat, ika ben ibat, lo hai lirot v'lo hai lirot. Oh, so who should be lirot? Maybe give it to the bar kasha damata? Lirot. Oh, okka mina, ika ben ubat, lo hai lirot kule, v'lo hai lirot kule is what I'm saying. There may not be a primary heir. Look, yeah, daddy lirotu. Amalei Abaye, but I need a pasuk to tell me that if there's a ben, that the ben takes everything. I understand what you're saying. Let lechad brother kino lekula nichse. No, dimakamashon the bat nami bat Yerushalayim. Well, that I would know from ko bat yoreshet nachala nafka. Ravacha by Yaakov amar mihacha. Loma yigara shem avinu mitoch mishpachto ki in lo bein. So you see, the only suit is because taimed in lo bein. Ha yesh lo bein bein koda. Well, that could be their personal opinion. Dilma benot zlof chadu de gamernach. It doesn't mean that that's the way it is. Nitna torah v'nitchat shahalacha. Ela machvarta kereshanina meikora. Ravino amar mihocha. It says mi mishpachto hakarov elav. So that means karov, karov konem. Which obviously means his son comes first. Really? My kuvita ben mi bat? What is it? Because shken kam tachat aviv li yada liste achuza? That doesn't prove anything. Yada, that's because a bat is a lav bat yadai. Steyachuza is, the only way we know steyachuza is the same way that we know the ben. Behakaimele latana klum yesh yibu mele b'makru she'in ben. Same thing is true about the bat. Yala machvarta kirishan ino neikara v'ibaitem emihacha. V'itnachaltem otam livnechem acharechem b'nechem velo b'notechem. Ah, oh, come on. Me'ata l'mani yirbu yimechem v'imei v'nechem. Afinami, b'nechem velo b'notechem? No, it's contextual. Baruch ha'shayne. V'achin min ha'av, and only min ha'av. Anochalinu manchilin, minol. Omar, rabba atya achva, achva mibnei Yaakov. Mala halan min ha'av velo min ha'em. Afkan min ha'av velo min ha'em. V'lomali, I thought we already established, we mishpachto, v'yarasho taktiva, that mishpachat av kruya mishpacha, and mishpachat emeina kruya mishpacha. We already went through a whole daf to prove that. No, inachinami. V'chi itmar de rabba linyan, yibum itmar.